Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with the Top 6 at 6.
How about 6? 6 is good.
Again, proving the off-the-air show would be very popular.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. But,
completely inappropriate. Story number one, the reports, aside from mine, the vast majority of reports come out today that Drew Locke bested Teddy Bridgewater. Tyler, what do you think?
Well, I'm really happy to hear that Drew Locke had a great day. Honestly, I am. I want Drew Locke to be able to do this on a consistent basis. And if he will do this on a consistent basis, he will win the starting job. Based off of the practices that we've seen so far, unfortunately, all we have is evidence to point out what we already thought, which is that Drew Locke is your up-and-down guy and Teddy Bridgewater is your safer, more boring guy. That's what it's been. You've got a couple practices where Drew Locke has not won, and then you've got today where he did. So Drew Locke definitely has still got an opportunity to win this job. When it comes down to training camp time, though, he will not win the job based off of days like this. He will win the job if he can get rid of all the days where he has bad stuff. That's how Drew Locke is going to win the job.
What's amazing, though, is you see today's like this are possible. And like you said earlier, maybe that's even more frustrating for the coaches. If days like today are possible, then why just haven't we seen it
exactly.
More? Unless we're really talking about a maturation process that's clicking in to where we are about to see days like this over and over and over again.
Well, it's got to start somewhere.
Ring it, Kevin.
You were out of practice. What else stood out today besides quarterbacks?
Well, it was cool seeing Melvin Gordon there. You know, he cut all his hair off, and apparently his dad didn't want him to do that. But still, he looked in great shape. Devontae Williams looks terrific, too. He's going to be a terrific running back. And even Royce Freeman is going to have his role to play, I believe. So I think the running back issue is cool. I think it was interesting to see the starting right tackle. Well, who knows what starters did, but let me put it this way. Quinn Bailey was playing quite often at right tackle today.
Well, Massey had an injury going on, right?
Correct, pec injury. Yeah, and Fleming is... I'm not sure what's going on. But get to know the name Quinn Bailey. You know, because this revolving door at right tackle, Tyler, it's probably not finished. And you probably should have. You could have made the argument that you could have gone that direction. That being said, Pat Surtain, too, is he's a man amongst men. Right off the bat. And you'd be blind not to see it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you could definitely tell that. Pat Surtain's going to be a starting corner on this team. He's probably not going to be your number one out the gates.
Well,
I wouldn't be shocked if by the end of the season he'll be number one. We saw
that today, too.
You know what? Briefly, you know what, maybe I'll ask you on the next one.
Right.
I'll ask you another Pat Surtain question.
Tyler.
You want me to double dip? I'll double dip.
No.
I'll double dip. I'll stay on Pat Surtain.
Go ahead.
Okay. What did you notice in the backfield? What did you see as the lineup? I know Pat Surtain was out there, but I asked around to a couple guys that were at practice today because I was curious how Coach Fangio was utilizing these guys.
Right.
At least, you know, if they want a mini camp, doesn't mean everything. But what did you see with the lineup with your defensive backs?
It looked like a lot of zone stuff out there, by the way. And
yeah, I didn't so much mean
Fuller
scheme.
Fuller and Darby on the outside.
Okay. Uh-huh. So that means the Pat was playing on the inside, right?
Correct. Yes. And in seven, when you do 7-on-7, it's, I guess you're replicating a dime situation, I guess. Maybe nickel. But Surtain on the inside. Tyler, I did not see... I'm not saying it didn't happen because you can't see everything, but I didn't catch a situation where, say, it was Fuller and Surtain. Surtain and Darby. You know, that sort of thing. If Darby was out there, on the other side was Fuller. And then trying to fit Pat Surtain in there. Now, that's not to say Surtain didn't rotate on the outside with other sort of lineups, because that does happen, right? But when it was Darby and Fuller, Surtain was always in the inside.
It's interesting to hear that. I would think by the time we get to the regular season, Pat Surtain will be one of your starting outside corners, and Callahan's going to be your starting slot guy. But that's curious. Yeah, interesting to hear that's how they lined up today.
Yeah, man, and it's, I mean, we could go into more detail, too, about Well, when do you just match up man on man? When do you move a guy around? I just haven't seen it with this defense. So if it's going to happen, okay, fine. I'm not saying it's not going to. But if you truly run a defense like that, do you need a player of that sort of value, or can you get away with a lesser valued guy?
Oh, yeah, you need it, and we already do that. I mean, the Broncos don't play zone every play.
Okay. All right. Bring it, Kevin. All right, let's read between the lines here. This is Aaron Rodgers promoting the golf thing. But, boy, is it fun to listen to Tom Brady, whose voice you'll hear, and Aaron Rodgers roll their coaches into the ditch.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you can say all you want, but Aaron and I are grinders and competitors.
Bryson DeChambeau,
you know, just like y'all are. Our golf games are a little bit better, so you know, we'll see. We'll see.
I do think you do have a partner that would probably have liked to go for it a little more often than he has in the past. So, Bryson, I'm glad you're encouraging him to kind of go for it when it's on the line. So rather than... you know, just knock into the fairway or something like that and try to play for the next shot.
Yeah, I'll never push anyone to do anything, so he can choose whatever he wants to do.
I usually don't get the option in my...
That's what I mean. You'll finally have the option, Aaron. So...
I know the pain.
Wow!
Uh-oh.
Wow!
Man.
Break it down.
Well... Tom Brady, I think, was just trying to make Aaron feel like he's not alone there with the I know the pain. Maybe he was taking a shot at Bill Belichick, but Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady definitely is well aware that you were frustrated that you didn't get to go for it at the end of the year with the playoffs on the line. Your coach kicks the field goal instead of trying to win the game. Every time I hear something like this, I become a little bit more hopeful. I love the fact that he was wearing a I'm offended t-shirt. He's embracing this kind of bad guy role that the Packers are trying to paint him as. And he's saying, okay, you want to paint me as that? I will be that if that's what I need to be to get the heck out of here. So he's not going back to Green Bay. I just know that much.
Ring it, Kevin.
NFL.com put out a list of the Dream Team 53-man roster. Now, I'm not going to go through the entirety of it, but just the starters. So the starting 22. How many Broncos do you think made the list?
What offense or defense? Starting 22, this whole team.
There you go. You talked yourself right in.
I got it. Yeah. Zero.
One.
Bond?
No. Justin Simmons. Justin right. Simmons is your one.
I should have thought of the highest paid safety in the league. I should have thought that.
I told you quickly because I realized if you didn't say it, it was just a brain fart. Clearly you know that Justin would be the guy that would be on this list. Here's my question, though. Maybe. If you only have one guy on this list, what is a fair expectation of this team? I mean, seriously, is it about talent? Do we like the talent? Where are we at?
I do like the talent. In fact, one of my thoughts out there, I know this is, you know, listen, when the schedule first came out, I had them 8 wins without Rodgers, 12 wins with Rodgers. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but we've had 4 straight losing seasons. When I was watching practice today, I was like, well, gosh, no matter what they do, if they choose Bridgewater or Locke, this team right here with this talent is winning 9 games no matter what. And where they go from there, who knows? And I know that doesn't sound like a ton, but it would mean so much for this organization to not have a losing season. 9 wins, you're going to be in the hunt for the playoffs right down to the wire. You're going to lose more than you're going to win more than you lose. And it's overall, I think you're going to have a pretty positive feeling, and it would be a huge jump up from what you got last year. So I understand where you're going with it, but there is a lot of talent out on that field, and it's impossible not to see it.
I think you've got a ridiculous amount of base-level talent on this team. Totally agree. But you do have to have a certain amount of superstars if you're going to be a playoff team in the NFL. I think that number is probably, at the minimum, you need 2 on each side of the ball.
Is Jerry Jeudy going to be a superstar? I think yes.
I'm not ready to say that yet.
I am.
Okay, that's fair and totally justified. That's fine. But I would say you need at least 2 superstars on each side of the ball, and if you're going to make a real run at it, you probably need close to 3.
Yeah.
Right now, we've really only got 1 superstar on the team.
I'm telling you, man. Well, we'll see how it goes, and he's a rookie. But if Pat Surtain is not a superstar in the NFL, eventually,
sure,
I will be shocked.
But that's the base level talent. That's like the up and coming. That's the grooming talent.
It's so hard for me with like the Justin Simmons position, Tyler. You're a safety. You're not even an in the box linebacker safety. You're a sort of a center fielder type of safety with Justin Simmons.
Yeah, but the game's changed, man. It's gone are the days of the 3 yards in a cloud of dust. This is a passing league.
All right, bring it, Kevin. Rockies had a huge win, by the way, last night. They beat an impressive opponent. They beat the Padres 3-2. And Austin Gomber, who was the big name in the Nolan Arenado trade, he started shaky this year. But yesterday, Tyler, Austin Gomber, 8 innings, 3 hits, 4 strikeouts, no walks on 95 pitches. He's got an ERA of 3.54. However, at home, his ERA is 0.95. Everybody with the Rockies struggles more on the road, but he has a 6-5 record. 6-5 as a starter for a team that is not good. He's got the same win-loss record as Trevor Bauer for the Dodgers. Is Austin Gomber putting together, incredibly, an all-star type first half of a season? Should Austin Gomber, based on his numbers and production and the team that he's on, be a rep for the Rockies at the all-star game?
Well, I've heard a lot of people talking about it. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and try to fake it. I don't know. I haven't been watching the Rockies. That's not a secret. I'm not interested in the Rockies right now because of things that have happened, because they are just bad at baseball. I'm glad to hear that Austin Gomber is playing better, but I don't think that you could be an all-star with a rough start based off of one half of baseball. I think based off the people, and I heard Mark talking about him this morning, and Mark obviously knows pitching with his son and everything.
Oh, for sure.
He was breaking down. He's got 4 different pitches that they're all just money right now. Basically saying the same thing you were saying, that he is playing at an all-star level. Okay, that's great. That's awesome. Good for him. I mean, unfortunately, I would go with you. Like every time you get tweeted about Nolan, and what is your response? Cool, they lost. Oh, cool.
That did happen the other day.
Nolan made a great play. They lost. All right, cool. Gomber's playing well. The Rockies suck.
But they were winning with Gomber.
Okay.
And he's the starting pitcher. I know exactly what you're talking about, because Nolan made a great backhand play. It was number one on SportsCenter's top 10. And I was like, oh, yeah, that is a really good play. And I didn't even know how they did. I looked it up. They lost 2-0. And it's kind of like you're drafting a cornerback rather than a quarterback. That is the kind of the difference between a third baseman and a pitcher. Meaning a great pitcher or a great pitching performance will always mean more for your team ultimately at the end of the day than a great individual defensive play.
Well, that's a fact. That's for sure.
So it is what it is. All right, Gomber, maybe. We'll see. Ring it, Kevin. Wrap it up. We'll have Nick Ferguson on here in just a second. He was out of practice today. Can't wait to get his take. Do not forget, Michelob Ultra presents the Fans Match Challenge, powered by the CoBank Colorado Open and benefiting the First Tee Green Valley Ranch, happening on Thursday, June 24th. We would love your support as we raise funds for the First Tee Green Valley Ranch, helping underprivileged kids in our community learn skills through golf. What a fantastic organization. And whatever show raises the most funds gets 2 mulligans. All that being said, sure, we would appreciate your donation. But if you want to stop the most arrogant show, just donate to anybody except for Mike and Mark.
At the
end of the day, would we like to win this? Sure. And we came in razor thin second place in this department last year.
Debatable. Some people thought there should have been a recount. Some people were happy that there was not a recount.
Correct. I remember that thing. And just so Mike and Mark don't win this, they claim they don't need the help. They don't want the help.
I mean, it's the evil empire versus everybody else.
Right. So why would you donate with Mike? Donate, because the cause is great.
D-Mac, they say that all PR is good PR. You're giving them too much PR right now.
You think so?
Yeah. You just ignore them. You don't acknowledge that they exist. That's how you treat them.
Fine. But they're the most cocky jerks about this particular event that you could ever find. So why would you help them? They're so...
Stop talking about them. You're just giving them more airtime.
Tyler, because one thing's clear. We don't have a chance.
Right.
We are.
That's exactly right, D-Mac. And don't you forget it. Stop planning parades, D-Mac.
No, why would I plan a parade for the team that inevitably can do no worse than last place.
That's right.
Or no better than last place, me and you. Because
yes.
If you listen to everybody else, they're so right. We're terrible.
Kind of are.
That's bad.
A little bit.
I've been working on it. But no, we are terrible and have absolutely no shot.
You're going to be disappointed. I haven't been playing at all.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
It's going to be a disaster.
You got to talk to Nick now.
Let's talk to Nick Ferguson on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline, except Nick is here. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's good to see you, my man. All right.
Can you see him?
I can see him.
Oh, he's behind
me?
Right. What do you know? I thought he was in the other studio.
No, he's right there. He's in the hot box over there. The Brandon Stokely Memorial Studio. By the way, the Stokely Show? Does everybody know that Stokely could be in the studio and he's choosing not to be in the studio?
Yeah, it's a little bit weird.
Everybody realize the oddity of that one?
There's a relationship drama going on there. That's the only explanation.
Studio 14. That's funny. Nick, practice today. What'd you think of Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke? What were your impressions?
Well, I'll start with Teddy. Teddy did exactly what I guess everyone or I expected him to do. Just go out there, be as efficient as he can. And, you know, it's all about taking what the defense actually gives you. So there was a lot of taking what was in the flats because the guys were dropping in zone coverage. There were a couple of throws that I wish that the receivers would have been able to come down with. There was one right in the honey hole with Devontae Bellamy that he could not really haul in. Then it was a shot down the field on the left-hand side. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who the receiver was. I don't know if it was Tyree Cleveland, but the receiver had the ball in his hands, and then he dropped it. And there were a couple of things that tells you a lot about what Pat Shurmur wants to do with his offense, where you saw a lot of the running backs leaking into the flats and running with the wide receivers to one side, drawing the attention of the safeties and the corners, leaving on two separate occasions, D-Mag and Tyler, the running backs out in the flats, and they would at least hit, you know, one for 30 and one for 40 yards. So that's what I saw from Teddy.
By the way, that was to Trinity Benson.
Copious notes.
It was to Trinity Benson, and on that one, the pass just floated a little bit too much, and Ronald Darby did a good job catching up and broke it up in the end zone. Would have been a really difficult interception, but Darby got there in time enough to break it up, and it just needed to get there somehow, Nick, a little quicker if it was going to be completed.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah.
D-back definitely thought that Drew won the day, and they really didn't even think it was close. Agree? Disagree?
I disagree. Totally. Because here's why, Tyler and D-back. When the bar has been lowered so low for Drew Locke, anything that he does that's in the positive, and that means not turn the ball over, it's a plus. Because I was around like maybe six media people, right? And everyone was talking about the same thing, starting with 707. Drew not getting the ball out of his hands on time and rhythm. And since I've been around Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan, that's a pet peeve for them. You're in 707. If you can't find a receiver and you have to roll out and run, that's a problem. And he was holding the ball entirely too long. And Drew Locke's best throws, there was a throw, I think it was Tyree Cleveland over the middle because they were running what we call dragons, which is a slant flat, where the guy, outside guy comes in, and Drew was waiting for that route to clear. He made the throw, but he was waiting too long. And there was another throw on the right-hand side. Can't remember the wide receiver, but the ball was a little behind him, and it was almost picked by Justin Simmons. And what I
that ball did hit off the receiver's hands, though, Nick,
but
into Simmons' hands.
Okay, but that is the biggest misconception because I've heard even Mark Schlereth said on television, every time a ball hits a wide receiver's hands, the idea is that since it hits your hand, you should catch it. That's not true because your job as a quarterback is to put that receiver in a position where he can run after catch. He shouldn't have to rotate his body backwards, taking away yards after catch, putting him in danger for that safety or that linebacker. So those are some of the things that I did see.
All right. Well, what would you say when Drew Locke did?
Fight.
No. There. What would you say when Drew Locke, when they were at the end of the practice in team 11-on-11, had three touchdown passes and Teddy Bridgewater really couldn't do anything?
Yeah, what
would
you say to that, Nick?
Well, here's what I say to that. Two of those touchdowns that I did see, one in North Fan on the left-hand side, and one to, I think, Andrew Beck on the right-hand side.
Yeah, his other one was to Sean Beyer, whoever that is. But, yes, Andrew Beck had one as well, yes.
Right, so here's what I saw on those two plays, right? We look at the left side to Noah Pham. You had Patrick Surtain, who was playing the dime in that position.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't drop back in his position where he should have to be in that window. So that allowed the first throw. The second throw to the right-hand side, which was to Andrew Beck, then that was, I think it was...
That was a nice play, man. That was an 18-yard completion right down the seam, though.
Kerry Benson was the other guy on the opposite side who made the same mistake. This is why you said...
Wow, this is a Drew Lock hater right here.
No.
I thought I was a Drew Lock hater. I was getting yelled at for being a Drew Lock hater, Nick.
No, this is not Drew Lock hating. This is exactly telling what it was that actually took place. Because here's what we know. Inside the red zone, the quarterback's... the clock in his head speeds up. He's got to get the ball out of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
With Drew Lock, he's still making the same mistake. D-Mac and Tyler, he's still staring down receivers. Great throw, but once again, if you do that against more experienced guys who are hook players, they're going to take that away from you.
Okay.
So I'm not hating. I'm going to do this.
Don't look at the text line.
D-Mac's just looking past the blame on anyone.
I don't care what the text line says. I know what my eyes say, and I'm going to give you what we do on the Nick and Caesar show. I'm going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not.
You should stop lying to us, D-Mac.
I'm not lying. I'm just describing. I mean,
You said he dominated Teddy. How?
Well, because I valued what he did later in practice, which simulates the end of the game in the red zone scoring areas more than what happens in the middle of the field.
D-Mac, it wasn't move the ball drill.
It wasn't, but they were using downs, though. They were counting downs, second down, third down, fourth down. And in a fourth down situation on the 8-yard line, Teddy Bridgewater threw it out of bounds.
But that's a smart decision.
It was the end of the game. You just lost the game. It's fourth and goal from the 8-yard line.
So you would have rather for him to throw an interception in that particular
situation? On fourth down? Yeah, sure. It doesn't matter. At least you give somebody a shot to make a play.
You give the other guy on the opposite team a shot to make a play.
Okay, fine. Who cares? But if you're so predisposed to not making a mistake that you don't take a chance,
Well, it obviously depends on what the situation is.
If it's literally
the end of the game, then of course you're right. But Nick could be right, too, depending on how much time was left. What were they down by?
There's 5 minutes left. Does it matter if the ball's at the 8-yard line or the 20-yard line?
5 minutes is a huge difference than last play of the game. You're right, for sure.
When do you run a play on fourth and goal from the 8-yard line?
You kick a field goal.
Well, right, but they didn't.
Oh,
they were practicing.
Right. I take it back. You're right. Actually, he's probably right. If it's fourth and goal, Nick, you probably are trying to score.
So you say that D-Mac, you understood the situation that they were putting the team in. It was that.
They had a guy with a stick, and it said fourth down. The ball was on the 8-yard line. What other situation could it be?
To me, all day, every day, I'm going to take the quarterback making the smart decision. See, you're going.
The guy had a stick with a number on it, Nick. I'm not making that up.
That's perfectly fine, D-Mac, but I don't want the quarterback to throw the ball in a tight space and put the team in a bad situation. I don't want to do that. But I know why you say that Drew Lock dominated, because you saw passes completed.
I saw touchdowns.
In the red zone.
Right.
That's all you saw. I saw touchdowns and Teddy Bridgewater broke him down earlier.
So I'm just sitting this one out.
By the way, Tyler did. Tyler did, to be fair, Nick. He really did went down and graded everything.
He broke down every play. I graded it out. They actually graded it out like the exact same.
Right.
So I guess James Palmer was right when he called it the push.
Go ahead.
It's okay. Say it, D-Mac. Say it.
Oh,
man. Say it. I know we're late. I get it.
Well, you're just taking up their time. It's okay.
It's great having
them
on. Let me say this about James Palmer. That dude is so handsome. I mean, he is a good-looking fellow.
That's a way to distract to go the opposite way.
Thank you, Nick. We'll listen to more of Nick and Cecil. By the way, hey, Nick, real quick. By the way, Nick in practice, shorts, T-shirt, looks appropriate. How'd you like Johnny Cash, all in black?
Hey, man, he's living true to the rock star he is.
I can't 100 degrees.
Man, it was breaking out there, man. I was sweating. Man.
All right, this is The Drive on the Fan. Thank you, Sue.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe. including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
And, you know what's funny is I'm looking at Twitter here, and, you know, I got to go out to practice today.
You're getting sensitive.
Who knows what they're talking about, and who doesn't know what they're talking about? And then there's always the, what does it mean anyways? It's just practice. And I'm like, well, all right. I mean, you know, I guess you can win that that argument if you just want to say it's practice. But to me, it was clear, man. It was clear. It was a Drew Lock day today.
Here's what's clear for sure is that that was Drew Lock's best day that he's had when the media has been out there. So whether your report is entirely accurate, whether reports that we're hearing from James Palmer that it was a little bit slower or else, I don't know. I know this, that everybody's pretty much in agreement. It was his best practice. So, you know, at that point, you kind of go to the eye test and you don't have the video to fall back on, and you just say this, you know, that Drew Lock won the day, and feel good about that, right? So I don't think it's really important whether everybody agrees that Drew Lock had a fantastic day, a kind of good day, or a slightly better day. I haven't heard anybody say that Teddy Bridgewater had a better day, right?
Yeah.
So
okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
But bottom line is that Drew Lock, this was his best day. Interesting that it came on a day in which you've got real 11-on-11 football going on. I do think that that's when Drew Lock's at his best. He's not the guy that's going to shine when he's got to think and everything's a little bit slower. It's a little bit processed. You've got 7-on-7. Drew Lock is kind of – he's got a little bit of a gamer in him, right? And so really not that big of a surprise to me that today was his best day and great news to hear.
You know, I'm laughing because I know that this happens every single time there's a Broncos practice, that there's this kind of wacky difference of opinions on things. It is why I wrote down every single play that they did on 7-on-7.
I was getting email updates in the middle of practice. I was getting all the plays charted. Yeah.
I was, and I said
it was a little bit hard to decipher. It was like Da Vinci Code or something. I couldn't quite figure it all out. But, you were sending me updates. I will vouch for you on that.
Right. Just so, like, this, because we're not actually allowed to specifically report on certain things. There are reporting guidelines, but we can send each other whatever information we want. And, oh gosh. And when you're out there too, and I'm sure you've been through this a million times, you just want to watch the practice, right? And we love everybody and all of our pals in the media, no doubt about it. But goodness gracious, chip, 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 like these little conversations are going on. And you're just trying to, like, you know, watch what's happening.
Yeah.
And then I'm standing there, and this guy, all of a sudden, there's this guy I've never seen before. And he goes, is this open to the public?
Well, take a look around, buddy.
And I go, yeah, I mean, it's such a comical question because there's, there's no.
How'd you get the invite? How'd you end up here?
I think he just walked in.
Oh, nice. And nice. Good for him.
I'm sure he was corralled relatively quickly by the Broncos media slash.
Oh, he really wasn't
people.
Media? I thought you were saying this was like a new media member.
No,
this is like just a total rando that came in off the street.
Just a dude.
Wow.
And
security's a little bit light over there nowadays, huh?
I was like, well, no, it's not. He goes, oh. I go, are you with the media? He goes, no. And I go, oh. Ooh. All right.
Might want to you know, get out of Dodge here pretty quick. You know, here's what's interesting to me, going back to the Drew Lock stuff.
Sure.
Okay, not a surprise. Drew Lock, when he is at his best, it looks better than Teddy Bridgewater. That's not a surprise to any of us. We've all known that. We've all said that we know exactly who Teddy is, and we know that Drew Lock has got the higher ceiling. Drew Lock will not win the overall starting job by days like this, though, even though we know that he's got a higher ceiling. Drew Lock will win the starting job by stringing together days like this 3, 4, 5 days at a time. And now he's only got mini camps, so he's got a handful of practices. But once he gets to training camp, he has to start converting days like this into consistency, because that's who Teddy Bridgewater is, consistency. You might not have the upside, and you might not have all the exciting moments, but you know what you're getting on a consistent day-in, day-out basis,
right.
And that's what Drew Lock is missing. So, great news. I'm fired up to hear that Drew Lock had a better day,
yeah.
Because as nobody will believe us, but as you and I have both said many, many times, the Broncos are better off if Drew Lock wins the starting job.
Yeah.
So good. Great. Let's start there, and let's keep going with consistency.
Yeah, let's see what happens tomorrow. And, you know, what's cool this week is, you know, the media does get to watch, like, every practice this week, because that's a wrap. And usually, or sometimes, they cut the last practice a little bit short, although I'm not exactly sure why the Broncos would do that.
Yeah, see, back in my day, you had to earn that. You didn't just get that last day off. You felt like, hey, fellas, we got to string it together here for these last few days. If we really got some fantastic practices, we might get an ice cream truck. We might go bowling, you know? But you're dang sure not just, that's not like some guaranteed field day like it's become nowadays.
That's too funny. I don't know.
I think coaches are afraid to be the bad guy now. Now you're afraid. Because so many coaches give that final practice off, they don't want to be the head coach that keeps them there.
Interesting, man. I would think this team wants every single second they can get, every rep they can get, every moment they can get together.
Okay, so do you think they'll practice?
God, I would hope so.
I bet you they do not.
I would think so.
I bet you they do not. Coffee bet, let's go. There will be a field day, an ice cream truck, bowling,
practice.
Or they just go home. But there will not be a traditional practice for
the final day. You're on. They need it. They are far away from making their minds up. Melvin Gordon just got here. They ran 10 million running plays today. No, I'm not saying it's going to be a full practice, but you're saying there'll be no practice.
Correct.
You're on.
They might be in the building. There might be a field day. They might have a chipping contest. But no, there will not be a traditional practice.
Okay. You're on.
All right.
You're 100%
I hope,
on.
For the record, I hope you're right. I hope I owe you a coffee on this one because, quite frankly, yeah, they need the reps. That's the exact reason why we were upset about the boycott. That's the exact reason why I didn't like this no 11-on-11 football for the first six OTAs.
Right.
Yeah, they need the reps. So I hope you're right.
Yeah, well, we'll get some perspective on what he saw. He was out there. Troy Rank, our guy on the scene. We'll check in with Troy coming up next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
All right, earlier today, Troy Rank, who is our Denver 7 Broncos insider, brought to you by
Arrowex Rocks Heating and Air.
Troy, what'd you think about the quarterback stuff today?
I saw a lot of what you saw, D-Mac. Probably I wasn't as excited about it just because of the context of the month. But Drew clearly won the day. He has not had a day like that when we've been able to view practice. He completed roughly 80% of his passes, and he looked sharp in the red zone. Whether the reads were easy or not, those aren't plays they make around here. So you still get credit for him. And Teddy didn't make those plays. He had to throw a couple balls away. But Teddy's still really accurate. He doesn't turn the ball over, so he did things we've seen from him. And it's just curious how it revealed today the differences in these quarterbacks, D-Mac, and you've talked about it. The upside of Drew Lock is greater. Can he take chances and take care of the ball? If he can, he would be the guy. But if he can't be consistent, you can see the coaches going, we know what we have in this guy, in Teddy. He's very consistent. We know what we're going to get game to game. And that has value in the league. Doesn't have a lot of watch value and must-see TV, but it certainly has value as you're trying to win NFL games.
Troy, of all the other practices that media has been at, it's pretty much been unanimous that Teddy has won almost all of them except for today. I'm curious if you've gotten any feel for behind the scenes, what's going on when media is not there. Have you gotten a vibe for which one of these quarterbacks has been playing better in the closed practices?
Not really, other than everyone I asked. It's that this is a true and honest competition, that if they wanted Drew to win the job, they would have said he's the starter and Teddy's here to back him up. And if Drew falters, he's the guy. I mean, they are seeing it as a competition. They're treating it that way. Teammates have been impressed with Drew Lock's off season. and his command, you know, the offense is better because he's in the same offense for the second straight year. But Teddy also privately, I talk to players, draws high marks because he's just, he's a veteran who calms the waters. You know, he's calmer than a lagoon. When he gets in the huddle, there's this feeling of we're fine. We're going to. So they both have strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, again, you could see either one winning the job. I think in Drew's case, he does. Yeah, and you said it perfectly, Tyler. He doesn't need a bunch of days like today, because if he tries to have days like today, he's probably going to throw interceptions eventually. He just has to be consistent. It's like a hitter. You're going to have a 3-for-4 day, but when you're having a bad day, is it 0-for-2 with a walk, not 0-for-4 with three punchies? And if Drew can avoid those peaks and valleys, he can win it because of his upside. But it's really, for me, going to come down to his ability to take care of the football. And today he had a good day.
Any other notes, any other observations that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, Melvin Gordon, I asked him about, you know, he looked different to me, leaner. And he said his weight's the same, but he definitely had more burst and more, let's just look, more bounce in his step than mm-hmm. I saw at any time in training camp last year. Mm. He wants a fresh start. I've talked to Melvin at length about this in the past. He wants a fresh start with this. And he looks different because he cut his hair.
Yeah, yeah, he cut all his hair. It's funny. I'm reading this quote on Twitter on cutting his hair. I just needed some change. His dad told him, "You'll lose the power of Flash if you cut your hair." He was ticked off.
Oh,
so his dad was not supporting him.
That's in the Bible, man. It's Samson. You don't cut your hair off. You don't want to do that.
Right, right. So he did look different for a lot of reasons, I guess. Huh, Troy?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've said, that the hair, you know, he did joke that his dad didn't want him to do it, but the hair for me is just symbolic of kind of his fresh start. He does look leaner. I mean, the guy's a workout fiend, so I was never worried, like, he's not going to be in shape.
Right.
Melvin Gordon loves working out. That's not the issue. He just looks leaner because his off season wasn't interrupted. He said to me today that I was, like, trying to sneak into gyms to get my workouts in, and this off season he felt like he had a great off season. And this idea he's in competition, he's a clear leader over Javonte for now. Now, could it develop into something where, you know, Melvin ends up playing more on third and you give carries to Javonte? Maybe. But the one thing they have to do if they're going to maximize Melvin Gordon, and this might be his last year here, they got to throw him the football. Melvin Gordon is a really good receiver. He showed that again today a couple times. He's great on wheel routes.
Yeah.
He averaged 50 catches a year for 3 years prior to last year when Denver just forgot how to throw to the running backs. So get him involved in the passing game, and I think you're going to see that. But I think you are going to see a little bit different Melvin Gordon. It feels like a fresh start for him in many ways.
Troy, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Thank you, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, brought to you by
Rocks Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
You know, during mini camps, what kind of bonding things would you do? Because I'm wondering, I know a bunch of the fellas went out to the Rockies last night, by the way.
Yes, yes, good for them. So did Zach Bye, for the record.
What
kind of bonding thing? Well, we would group ice tub sessions, right? See who can kind of last the longest. You know, maybe until Orlando would go in there, and then he would, you know, turn the water a different color, and then everybody bails out of town.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not telling that story. Orlando's told that story himself on air.
What's that story?
Fortunately, I was never on the team with him, but let's just say that Orlando had to pay a very hefty fine one time to the Denver Broncos.
You're kidding
because
me.
He decided that that was the spot to, well, relieve himself.
You got to be kidding me.
Nope, not kidding you. That's a fact. Got fined for it. Yep. What else?
What was his defense?
I don't know. Maybe
had to go?
Maybe he got cold. Maybe he couldn't control himself. Maybe he lost all control.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think he just did it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Aside from that.
Well, and then we would, you know, try to take the athlete's foot off of one another. But
nobody gets cut, I don't think.
Oh,
that's actually not true.
No, this is actually a big one. If you're a fringe guy, if you're a rookie, young guy, there's kind of various stages that you got to survive. You got to survive minicamp. And if you survive the next couple days after minicamp,
mm-hmm.
then you're like, hallelujah, I made it to training camp. Now you got to make it past the first preseason game, so on and so forth. But there's always these dates that you know that are targets. After minicamp is definitely a date in which you will have probably 4 to 5 new bodies transferred in and out between now and training camp.
Yeah, by the way, because we're having like super warm heat index, crazy hot days.
First day in Colorado history that we had an excessive heat warning today.
Is that crazy? I did not know that.
Yes.
That's wild.
Yes.
It's going to make the bike ride home kind of interesting, I guess. But
yeah, good luck.
Yeah. Teddy Two Gloves. Doesn't matter, I guess. So on the hottest day, in the middle of the day, Teddy Bridgewater uses two gloves no matter what.
That's who he is.
Warm, cold, doesn't matter.
That's right.
Teddy Two Gloves.
That's who he is. Yeah. Can't change.
It's an interesting metaphor. That guy is not changing. That guy is who he is, man.
There you go.
That guy is... He's Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah. That's why we feel like we know who the coaches would lean towards, despite days like this.
You're going to get 9 wins with Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I think you are, but I think you're going to...
I'll put it this way. You can get 9 wins, but Teddy Bridgewater, that 9 wins is still... That's a pretty respectable season, man. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater's got to play good football to get to 9 wins.
I think
you can't have 11 interceptions like you had last year if you're going to get to 9.
I think this is a 9-win team, man, no matter what.
What?
There's just...
Hold on. We've done our predictions. You weren't anywhere close to 9 wins, were you?
I was 8 without Locke and, or, without, you know.
All right. So you were close.
You know, without Rodgers, and then 12 with, I'll up it up. I'll, you know, we're learning more. Anyways, well, listen, we got a lot of time to talk about it. Day 2 of minicamp gets going, but Nick and Cecil both were out there. Their thoughts and what happened in terms of what they saw, it's coming up next.